So today, just real quickly, we need to have a quick council meeting, just a couple of things to address real quickly. Please, we have a quorum, and so we can take care of that real quickly. And then Wednesday night, we're going to give this another shot. We missed some of our regulars, and so we decided to just kind of do some inspired on-the-spot psalm reading. And so we're starting with 1 Peter 5:1 again. Coming back to our study, you're all welcome to join us 6 o'clock on Wednesday. And then next Sunday, I'm going to be sharing my personal perspective. It's a return to the theme of 2020 Vision in 2020 from my own personal perspective. So be in prayer and don't show up. All right. And then, yes, there are directories out there on the table back there that are available for you. One per family to begin with, and then we'll see how that goes. Thank you, Don, who's not here this morning. And also, there's some bottles back there. They don't look like regular baby bottles because they're not. They're bottles, though, anyway, and they can be used to fill up with your change or whatever. Just put a big check in there. That'll take care of it. And we want to... We just went and got some bottles, and yeah, you can collect until Father's Day. And that goes, of course, to help with, it's not up there, but that, of course, is for Life Choices Pregnancy Center fundraiser. Okay, and now, we're sorry that Tom is not with us, but since Hollis is going to be sharing with us, we thought we would show this anyway. Hollis and Tom were essential in helping. Did I just lose myself? And I don't know if you can see this very clearly or not, but that's Hollis laying down, checking the whatever, and Tom is actually sitting right on top of him. I mean, those are close brothers right there. Maybe that's why Tom hasn't shown back up yet. But we're gonna show that again when Tom gets here. We had hoped for him to be here today. But anyway, so yes, bless both of those brothers. They need a lot of help. Who else? What else? Is that it?
Well, I don't know if you want to share, but today's our
44th wedding anniversary. Okay, you just stole my thunder. You just stole my thunder. I do have some things to say about that later. During testimony time, thank you. Okay. Yes. Congratulations. No, never. We stopped doing that a long time ago. About 44 years ago, we stopped talking to each other. So, I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, oh, don't get us started. Do not get us started. Okay. And there's Shannon. It's about time, Shannon. It's the last time we're going to let you come in late.
Too many.
Okay. Well, we don't want to hear about that either. Don't want to hear. We do have a testimony time, so if it's something that you feel like is essential to share, we'll look forward to that. What am I looking at? Oh, up here. Okay. On the front of your bulletin, the scriptures for today and setting our hearts in the right place. Hollis is going to be sharing about that. It says out of Luke, first of all, this is Jesus speaking. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Then out of Proverbs, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Sounds like the heart's pretty important about that on our anniversary day. So, all right, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for, again, the freedom and the opportunity we have to gather together in your house again. We've been missing it. We're so thankful, Lord. And we just pray that you'll help us to make the most of it by uniting our hearts together to give you the worship and the praise that you alone are worthy of. As we lift you up, we know, Lord, that all men and women will be drawn to you, and that's our heart's desire. Just pray your blessing and anointing, especially for Hollis as he shares with us. Anoint our hearts' hearing, the ears of our hearts, and to receive what you have for us today. That we truly can honor and glorify you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Father, yes, we do want to just pause and say thank you again for the freedom that we have to come into your house today. And Lord, help us never to take it for granted. This COVID time has caused us to appreciate once again some of the things that we take for granted, especially being able to come together and worship you. And for those who have sacrificed, made the ultimate sacrifice to give us this freedom, we never want to take that for granted either. And so that's what this weekend is about. And tomorrow in the services that we'll gather to just commemorate and give you thanks for the lives of those that sacrificed. Ultimately, Lord, it reminds us of your sacrifice through your Son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, not just for kind of everyday freedoms, but for eternal freedom. And Lord, that by his grace at work in our lives, we can claim that and we can live in that freedom both now and forever. We give you praise for it in your Son's name. Amen. Sure, one song you cut off, the other you just keep going. Who trained her? That's what I want to know. Okay. I guess I should ask the question again. Is it okay to have fun in God's house?
Yes.
Okay, then. Yeah. All right. Hollis, are you going to have fun this morning?
Yeah.
Sharing God's word? That's always fun.
Yeah, it is.
We appreciate Brother Hollis, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give him a hand before he preaches, because you might not want to after he's done. He's going to share what God has laid on his heart. It's all about the heart, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back home, be back in our church, be back in fellowship. Am I messing this thing up, or are we getting louder and louder and louder?
She'll adjust it.
Okay. Congratulations again for Brother John and M's. What did you say? 240 years? Was that? No, no. I have a question. I have a question for you, Sister Kathy. Did you just decide that, you know, that Brother John, no bells and whistle, but he was like an old Ford Falcon, that he would never break down on you, so you decided to go with him?
No. It's so funny because my car in college that we shared was a Ford Falcon.
Right, right, right. And you put it in the ditch. And it's good to see Jordan here. Yeah, me and Jordan, in a brief of a moment, real quick, this has nothing to do. A few years ago, I think it was 2014, I believe it was, we got through together in some baseball situation, and we had about 4 or 5 days to prepare coaching together, and we ended up going down to Lewiston and upsetting the baseball world together. We took a team over that the coach had to leave, and it was a lot of fun. We'd knocked Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls, and Lewiston out of the tournament, you know, and brought a trophy home. So that was a lot of fun. And good to see you. I have missed you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Today, we're going to be focusing on four things. The true home of sin, the true nature of sin, the true price of sin, and what we should do about sin. That's what we're going to be focusing on today. And we're going to start with the reading of the two scriptures that I'm going to be using. And Mr. and Ms. Osborne is going to do that for us.
Genesis 3:1-5. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Probably the two most famous sins of mankind, the very first sin that man did, and a famous kiss that betrayed Christ. And that's what we're going to focus on today. You know, we're living in a world right now that society and our government and everyone else is telling us we need to be afraid of something out here. I say to you, the sin that will get me is right here. True sin, the true home of sin that will condemn me comes from my own heart. That's what Jesus said. Right here. Now your sin can hurt me, but your sin can't condemn me. Jesus tells me to not focus on them. The splinter, the little splinter in my brother's eye, I need to worry about the plank in mine. See, that's what Satan did to Eve and Adam. Something out here you're getting cheated out of. Something out here. Is going to trip you up. But it was not something out there. It was something in here that tripped him up. The true nature of sin is deceit. Satan deceiving me, making me believe that there's something going on that's better for me than what God has going on. The true nature of sin is me blaming my brother for my shortcomings. All that's right there in 1-5. It was the woman. That's the true nature of sin. True nature of sin is the fear of God. Because it's there. You go on and read, it's there. They ran, they hid, they did. Ashamed. I'm ashamed to be in the presence of God. That's the true nature of sin. True nature of sin is me taking an act that removes my brother from God or me from God, out of his presence. Now the world likes to tell me, now sin can be done, horrible things can be done in the name of sin, but true sin is me being removed from the God of my understanding. Man was created to be in fellowship with God. And what God finds sinful is me choosing to be out of his fellowship. But this world tells me I need to fear other things. That I need to fear COVID-19. I need to fear not obeying the law. if me worshiping Christ is going to get in the way of not obeying the law. Thank God that Peter and Paul, they said, you know, do what you got to do. I will not forsake my Lord, because I know the truth. The true price of sin. True price of sin is self-will run riot in my life. That God's will for my life, God's purpose for my life is no longer a priority to me. That what I think's best for me. I had an individual say to me a couple of weeks ago, well, I've got to live my truth. Well, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one truth. And if your truth is not in line with this truth, I don't know what you call in truth, but I know it is not truth. I know that. My truth. Like I have the authority to dictate what truth is and not. I don't have that authority. There's only one truth. And then what does that do to me when I live in self-will? What does that do? Well, let's look at Judas. What did it do to him? It led him to a situation where he betrayed Christ in his life. That's always dumbfounded me. How could you be in the physical presence of the Lord and Savior of all humanity and decide that 30 pieces of silver was more important to you than he was? That some way you could rationalize and justify that in your mind. But he did. See, I can be in the body of Christ, but not of the body of Christ. I can be in it. I can be with you. But I better make sure my heart is of the body of Christ. And the real funny thing here is we think about the kiss that betrayed Christ. That kiss didn't even take Christ one step out of his mission. What that kiss did was condemn Judas. That's the one that really got shortchanged, not Christ. Christ went on about his business of doing his Father's work. I don't want to find myself there. Because if I betray Christ in my life, then I end up living eternity out of the presence of God. Once again, the thing that I was created to do, to be in fellowship with God. And that's where Satan wants me, out of fellowship with God. You ever heard the old saying, misery loves company? Huh? That's what Satan wants. So what do we do in these traveling times? I have three spiritual heroes that I ran into in the last month and a half. That I was going to help both of these people, two of the people I was going to help, and God used them to help me. See, I was going to be the authority of help, and they became the authority of help in my life. And I'm going to share about them because I got their permission to. And there are two of them sitting in here today. I got called to help a young man and his family and his mother in a trying situation. Trying situation. Something I wouldn't wish up on anybody. And we were not together more than an hour or so. And we got a point to sit down and start talking a little bit. And I left the funeral home that day wanting the wisdom of an 18-year-old. Because we were sitting there and we were talking, and being that we have a history in baseball, we talked a little bit about that, you know, familiarity. And we got around to the conversation, and at 18 years old, this young man looked at me and said, "Coach," or "Stu," "I believe in God, but I need to know him better." And what do you know about that? I sat in that same funeral home, looking in the same coffin at my dead son, and that was not the first thing that popped in my head. First thing popped in my head, I was going to kill some folks if they killed my boy. Now that's just the truth. So what do we do in trialing times? We seek God first in everything. That's what we do. Not the opinion of our government, not the opinion of some authority that someone's been gave a title to, but the authority. We seek God first in all things. Because none of us gets out of this alive. None of us does. The question is not if I'm going to die. The question is, am I focused on being in the spiritual condition I need to be in when I die? And if I'm in that spiritual condition, what does it matter when God calls me home to be with him? What does it matter? None of you ladies that I post have been helping. TJ. She's got her new place, got her house settled in. And I was talking to her one day and a week or so ago, and I just asked her, "How are you doing? Are you getting settled in? You know, are you getting happy?" And she looked at me with her little ways that she does, said, "I don't know about happiness, but I'm beginning to feel peace." And there it is. Once again, I was wrong. And God hit me right in the face. I had a time in my life I could drink two Budweisers and feel happiness, or what I thought was happiness. But they never brought me any peace. Then there it was right there. Seek Christ's peace in everything. Because peace of God is something that cannot be rocked. Happiness, that comes and goes on my emotional whims. But the peace of God cannot be rocked. So here I am. I need to be seeking some of that Jesus peace instead of that happiness, like Sister TJ was doing. That's what she said she was looking for. She wasn't studying no happiness. She needed some peace. I was like, "You go, sister. I'm with you now. Thank you for straightening me out." You know? Seek God first in everything. and seek Christ as peace. And through that peace, I will find God in everything. And that's the real end game. That's really what we should be seeking. Being back in fellowship in here. And of all places, Holly, Mississippi. Holly Spring, Mississippi. Boy, them folks down there got me fired up. They had the police come in twice and shut them down for having church. But they wouldn't stop. And then someone painted out on the outside, "You obey the law or something, you hypocrites," and burnt the church down. But they wouldn't give up God. They were not giving up God. Amazing that they were willing to stand their ground. And the good thing that they were in compliance with the governor's rules. It's just the local little authority that decided that they were going to take their rights away from them. Their constitutional rights. Folks, if you don't think that we ain't under attack by Satan, if Jeff Foxworthy would say, "Here's your sign," you know, it's the oldest trick in the book. And we got to stop falling for it. Got to stop falling for it. I mean, just call Satan, it's like three-card Monty, right? Just because he went from red cards to blue cards doesn't mean it's a new game, right? But Will's, the color of the card changed. This must be a game I can win. No, it's not. And goes right back to the beginning. 3:1-5, and little father, you ought to read the rest of that. What did he do? He divided and tried to conquer. There was a reason Jesus said two or more. Because he knew that Satan wants us alone. See, Satan is like Mike. If Satan was a boxer, he'd be Mike Tyson. Now, if I got in the ring with Mike Tyson, Mike would just kick my rear end up and down, okay? He'd probably eat a ham sandwich in one hand and just whoop me down with the other one. Right? Because Mike knows about fighting. But I got news for you. If Mike comes up in here, Mike might take a butt whooping. If he tried to get on, Mike come in here and jump on Brother John, next thing you know, we all on him, right? Mike don't stand a chance. Satan's the same way. He gets me alone, he going to beat me down. But if he comes up in here, we're going to step off in it for him, put him in his place, put him back where God put him. So you can't come up here and fill him with God's people and think you can just co-sign whatever you want to up in here, Satan. Don't work that way here. You need to take that junk down the road somewhere, because we don't play that game. Because this guy that hung on this, he's in charge in here. And you have no authority here. So I say to you, don't let this COVID-19 scare you. If anything in the world is going to scare you, be afraid of dying out of the presence of the Lord Almighty in the blood of the Lamb. Be scared of that. Because that will condemn me for eternity. COVID-19 will just send me to my room in the kingdom of heaven. And I might be cutting grass up there. I don't know. I'll be okay. I'll do that. So do not let them abide and conquer us. Because two or more gathered in Christ's name, the gates of hell cannot stand against it. You can believe that. That's all I got. Brother John, will you come and close this, please?
So where is the true home of sin? In our hearts. And there are things out there that may cause us to fear and all of that, but that's the devil's work. That's his playground, as Hollis has said. What we have some control over is what's in here. We have the choice whether we're going to let God control our hearts or not, because that's really where it's all at. Thank you, Hollis, for that reminder. And so in response this morning, we want to open our hearts to the Lord. Each one of us, there's probably something in there still that needs to be changed, something that needs to be cut off, replaced by God's love, his peace, his grace. Whatever that is in your heart this morning, offer it up to the Lord. I'm going to be doing that myself. We sing this song, "Change My Heart, O God, Make It Ever True." Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Let's stand and sing. As always, the altars are open if you desire to pray here. Continue an attitude of prayer as those who are praying up here continue in prayer, and we're going to pray for each other this morning. Father, you know our hearts. You know what's in us even more than we do. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand ourselves, what we feel, what we think, choices we make. But Lord, you can make that clear as we open our hearts more and more to you. And ask you to come in and clean out anything that needs to be clean. Replace it with more of your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that truth, peace, love, all of those good things come from you. And you have said that the kingdom of God is within. And so we just open wider today what you offer to us. Thank you, Lord, that you can clean, you can renew us, you can make us more like you as we do so. And so we give you praise for that. Thank you, Father, for those who are responding this morning, and pray that you will accomplish your work in each one as they offer themselves back to you. We want to give you rejoicing, Lord, that you continue to accomplish your will, even in circumstances that we sometimes feel like are a little out of our control. And that's not really a bad thing, because it reminds us of our need of you and that you are the one that's in control. And you have promised to work your good in every circumstance as we allow you. And so we continue to just offer ourselves and the present circumstances to you, those that we love and care for, that we lift to you, asking, Lord, that somehow you will use these present circumstances for eternal good. We know you can, and so we claim that today, and we thank you for it. We want to thank you again for a good report from Dee. Thank you that her latest scan was clear, and she just continues to be a testimony, a witness in our midst of your grace and your healing. And we claim the same thing for Carl this morning, thankful for a good report from him today. And we just give you credit for that, Lord, and pray your continued blessing for he and for Joanna both. We lift up little Colton to you today, Lord. Thankful that what he is dealing with was not a bacterial infection and wasn't needing any kind of surgery. So we give you praise for that, but we just continue to entrust him in the uncertainties that lie ahead to you and for Mike and Brooke and for the rest of the family as well in their care for him. Thank you that you will be glorified in his life. We pray the same for Dawn as she anticipates surgery on her back Tuesday. We just pray, Lord, that you would give her peace about it, help her to know that you will work through the surgeons and those that are attending to fix what is needed there, and your healing touch directly will complete that. We thank you for Mike and Beth Ann. Glad they're able to be with us again today, and we just continue to entrust them to you as well, and Beth Ann particularly, as they await results from the latest biopsy. Thank you, Lord, that whether it's a physical need, a mental need, an emotional need, or spiritual need, you are the great physician. You can heal it all. And so we just leave all of these that we love and care for in your hands with gratitude and thanksgiving, Father. We pray that in this Memorial Weekend that we would continue to give you thanksgiving for the lives of those that have made many of our freedoms possible. Again, Lord, we don't want to take it for granted. Help us to be truly grateful for the right things and to have discernment and wisdom as you guide and direct us. And as we go from your house today, we do so not only having come with rejoicing, but we leave with rejoicing, because you can make our hearts right and you can work in us and through us for the benefit, the blessing of others. And that's our desire. So as we go out today and whatever connections, opportunities, as always, Lord, we just ask that your spirit would be very real, would make things clear for us, help us to be obedient when there's tough choices to make, knowing that we can trust you with it all. And so we go in your name, we go praising you, our hearts continue to be given to you. And with gratitude we say, amen.